stand in great need of your prayers. I want you to know that I have no sufficiency of myself.
Amen.
That my sufficiency is of God.
Amen.
Who hath made me a minister of the New Testament.
Yes.
I feel a great urgency for prayer. Sometimes we are struggling to understand the leadings of the Spirit, especially when you're in a meeting, to know the time that the Lord would have this message or that message. We often pray, Lord, give the message that is right for the hour. Well, this is the last hour. Maybe in our human thinking, we would think, Lord, it would have been better for Sister Mary to be this afternoon. It would have been better for the meeting to have ended on such a high note because the message was so encouraging. But this is all the Lord has given me. And I hope that you will receive something that will help you next week.
Lord bless.
The words of the prayer this afternoon spoke of what you're going to meet next week, what I'm going to meet next week, what I will meet an hour after I leave here.
Well, Lord help us.
And what is that? The enemy of our soul. Did you know that the devil does not like to be exposed? And I know that. I am familiar with the tactics of the enemy. I recognize that when we are resisting him, he is also resisting us. The Lord spoke to me maybe a year and a half ago, very plainly. He said, you are going to have to pray against the devil more. That is the time we are living.
Yes.
We think about the scripture that says that we are not to forsake or neglect, whichever word you want to put in there, the assembling of ourselves together. And it said, much more so as you see the day approaching.
Yes.
Good counsel.
Yes.
Because you and I can become slack so easily.
That's true.
When it comes a weariness of our mind, body, and spirit, and it's church time.
Yeah,
prayer meeting.
Yeah.
I'm going to testify to you that there's been many prayer meetings I did not feel like going to. I said, I am too tired to go. But I pressed against it.
Amen.
And I felt better at the end than I did in the beginning.
Amen.
God will meet us if we press against our flesh. But if we give in, we are giving in to the enemy.
Yeah.
So our thoughts today, no, I've got to stop and have prayer. I just have to.
Amen.
I have been praying and asking the Lord to encompass me. 10,000 angels.
Yes, Lord.
And protect the message from any hindrance from the opposer. So if you'll agree in prayer with me, I will appreciate that. I come, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we believe that you have instructed us to call upon your name at this moment.
Yes, Father.
To seek you, Father.
Yes.
to seek your power, to seek your grace, to seek your wisdom. We are coming, Father, asking that you will strike a blow to the head of Satan. That you will strike a blow to his head 490 times. That you will cast him down. You will cast him out. You will bind his powers. You will cut off his influence. You will undermine his plans and his purposes. And that you will destroy the works of the devil for which Jesus was manifested.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we are no match for the devil except in your name.
Yes, that's so.
And we ask you now for the anointing of your spirit to rest upon your word. We're asking that you will meet here with us, that you will awaken each one, that you will cause the words that go over this desk that are read, Father, from your word, that it will find lodging in the hearts and the minds of each one, and that they will not be forgotten, that Satan cannot snatch them away. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to grant your anointing upon your word in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. You and I are in a great contest. The scripture calls it a race. And the scripture says only one will win the prize. Now that doesn't mean there is only one in this room. But it's us as individuals. We're in a race. We're in a contest. I'm not racing against you, nor you me. But we have an enemy. We have an opposer that is trying to get you and me to fall, to fail. In a great conflict, in this great conflict, be assured it is escalating. Is that the truth?
Yes,
it is. Do you sense it?
Yes.
You must be aware that from this day on, that this conflict is going to be escalating. Don't be shocked.
That's right.
That's so.
Don't be ignorant.
That's right.
It's very important that you and I be awake. In the Word of God, in different places, even in the Old Testament, if the words were spoken, and I like to say it with feeling. Awake!
That's right.
Yeah.
Would that wake you up?
Yeah, that's right.
It says, awake, O Zion.
Yeah. Lord, help us.
Church, be awake.
Yeah.
We're facing eternity.
That's right.
Oh, you say, I say, we know not the day or the hour, but it's nigh.
Yeah.
It's possibly at the door.
Yeah.
We feel the very presence of eternity
looming
in sight.
Right.
Oh, keep that vision.
Yes.
Keep that vision because it will help you.
Yes.
It will help you have the seriousness of your life from this day forward. Mm-hmm. So keep awake. In no way do I want to lift up Satan. Do I want to promote him in any way? But I must talk about him. I must give what the Word says.
Yes.
I must remind us that we have an opposer.
Yes.
That there is a devil. I must give you some of his names. That's not lifting him up. Again, we want to expose him.
Yes.
That we be less ignorant today than we were yesterday.
Amen.
I believe that you and I are in a war.
Yes, I
suppose. It's a spiritual war. It is not necessarily seen with the eye. But with the spiritual eye, we sense.
Yes.
We sense there is war going on even in around and about us right here today. That the very air is peopled with opposing spirits against the church of God, against the saints of God, against the children of God. And if you're here and you're not saved, there is a spirit trying to get you to stay unsaved. You don't see it, but you may sense it. And those that have discernment, they may sense it. So this morning, this afternoon, rather, I'm going to speak just a little bit about a great war. You know, Jesus said that some of the things that would happen before the coming of the Lord, he said there will be wars. There will be rumors of wars. And when you and I read that, we think that of our world, and it may mean that. And those things are happening. But I want to change that a little bit and not do damage to the scripture. But I believe that he is saying in the last days there's going to be spiritual war. And there's going to be rumors of war. Trouble, if you will. Where the enemy is taking advantage in congregations. Where the enemy is taking advantage of ministers. Where the enemy is taking advantage of innocent souls that are desiring to live for him. Where the enemy is taking advantage of little children. That should stir our spirits. It should stir our spirits for the church. I am sad as we conversed with Sister Sherry this week. I wasn't totally familiar with all of the different congregations that were in California, but I was aware. I have read books. California, to me, was a hotbed for the Church of God. Many congregations, not just little congregations either. When I found out that this was not the place that you've always met here, that you had a campground. That there were many people there. I wasn't there. So what has happened? The devil has his arrow drawn. He is against God and righteousness and truth. He is against the saints. He is against the church of God. I remember a few years ago, the Lord spoke to me plainly. Pardon my tears. I weep for Zion. The Lord told me our congregation was at peace. We had a sweet, we still have a sweet congregation. But we were a congregation that loved one another. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, the devil has his arrow drawn, and it is pointed to your congregation. And it happened. I want to expose the devil by the help of the Lord. I cannot do it in myself. I am no match for the enemy. You are no match for the enemy. We have got to be filled with the Holy Ghost to be able to fight against in this war. In this world, there are wars, destructive wars. with many casualties. Many people die in war. That is the purpose of Satan himself. In a spiritual war, he wants you and me to die. And all that he can take with him, he's happy.
Yeah.
In every war, there is always two sides, aren't there?
Yes.
Isn't there always one that is counted the enemy? And you know when our country has been in wars, you look in history, and you will find that they had their intelligence. They called them intelligence.
Yes.
They had those that were able to search out, seek out information about the enemy. They did not go into war ignorantly. They found out as much as they could about their enemy. All of our wars from the United States has not happened. I'm talking about except the Civil War. I'm talking about World War I, World War II, all of our wars since then has been on foreign soil.
Yes.
In other words, the men that went to fight there had to know the terrain. They had to understand the people. They had to understand the customs. They were not ignorant. When they went into battle, they had to have some information, and they were taught it. And I feel like this afternoon that the Lord is saying for us to be better acquainted, not with, but about Satan himself and his tactics, who he is, what he is, what his purpose is. If we can be familiar, but yet don't be preoccupied. We're not wanting to be preoccupied with Satan. We want our highest intelligence or preoccupation to be concerning our great captain. We have a great captain. We're not to be afraid of the enemy. We have to recognize who he is and all that we need to know about him to know how to fight in this war. But don't lose sight of your captain.
So.
He is a great captain.
Yes,
he hasn't lost a battle.
Right.
Have you got a captain that's never lost a battle? This is the one.
That's right.
There's been many captains, literal captains, that have lost battles. But our God has never lost a battle. Thank the Lord. So, I have probably too many notes. Have those of you. You start on a thought and it gets bigger than big. And this is one of those. So again, we trust that the Lord will help us to open this up to our hearts and minds. First thing I want to say is this is a deadly enemy.
Yes, that's so.
I'm going to give you some of his names, and they will basically be self-explanatory. We know his name is Satan. He is an opposer of all that is right. He is called the devil. He is called the adversary. We can identify some of his works and his very nature by other names used in the Word of God, an accuser. How many of you have ever been accused of the devil? He loves to accuse the people of God. He loves to make them think and question whether they're saved or not. That's one of his tactics. That's how he will attack you and me. Where is the battlefield? Is it not in our mind?
Yes.
He uses our mind. So he is called the accuser of the brethren. He is a tempter.
Yeah.
He is a murderer. It says that he was a murderer from the beginning. He is a ruler of darkness. This world is dark.
Yeah,
I was speaking with a sister back here of some changes that that we have seen in our lifetime. And you'll probably not be expecting this, but when I was young, we could go to Monarch and there wasn't such a thing as a microphone. And you could hear. When someone got up to give a prayer request, you could hear. And now we have to have a microphone. That's not sin. But does that say anything to you? Years ago, actually, when Brother Hargrave first went to Monarch, their testimony was that when they turned the corner to head towards the tabernacle, a mile away they could hear the singing. A mile away. That's been told, and I don't doubt it. It was told that the neighbors a mile away could hear the singing of the saints. But time has gone on. The devil is suppressing our voices. The devil is suppressing the singing. Now, you all have beautiful singing here, I'm just going to tell you. Good acoustics or whatever it is. Or singing from your heart. But I want to tell you, the singing is not heard a mile away at Monarch now. Something is hindering the projection of the sound. And I believe, it's my personal belief, have no Bible to prove it, I believe the enemy, the ruler of darkness, is suppressing the sound of the gospel. That we are required to have microphones in order to be heard. In our congregation, in our chapel, for I don't know how many years, we only had lights that went across above the windows on both sides. And actually, it was Brother and Sister Rich that came there, and when they walked into our chapel, they said, "Why is it so dark in here?" We hadn't even noticed. We were accustomed to it. I believe, this is just my beliefs, that the enemy, the ruler of darkness, is trying to even suppress the light. I have no scripture to back that up. It was after that we had lights put down, extra lights, and even now we begin to think it's getting darker again. Our vision is seemingly getting darker. This is the ruler of darkness.
Yes.
But you and I are not subject to darkness. We are walking in the light.
Amen.
We are against darkness.
That's true.
Whether the enemy is trying to suppress light literally, or whether he's trying to suppress sound literally, we will press against it.
Yes, amen.
The scripture plainly says that is one of our weapons, and I want us to leave today with some weapons of warfare.
Amen.
I certainly wouldn't want to have a negative message and give you all these things about the devil without giving you hope.
Yes,
the next week, as you meet the devil, devil, you have nothing to use to fight against him.
Yes.
So one of our weapons of warfare is to resist the devil. It is the word of God. Resist the devil, and what will happen?
He will flee.
We sometimes have to keep resisting to convince him. You see, I want to tell you a weapon of warfare that the Lord has given me of late. And I believe the Lord has many weapons. We will not be able to cover them all. But may the Lord open your minds and cause you to search and seek for those weapons of warfare that are not carnal. Oh, that's what we need. Weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want to tell you, a number of years ago, I was working with a couple, and the young man had been unfaithful and broken his wife's heart, and we were working with that situation, and she came and confessed to me that she turned and did the same thing to him, just to hurt him. And I was so angry with the devil, because I knew it was the devil. At that time, and I don't recommend this, I said it with the most sinister voice that I could conjure up. Oh, devil, remember what's waiting for you at the end of all of this. I don't know if he cares whether I say it in a cynical way or not, but I meant it from the heart. And I want to tell you, the devil had this. You could feel him living.
Praise God.
Well, I hadn't thought of that in years. And in the last number of months, it's almost been like our whole family has been under the siege of the enemy. We have been fighting, fasting, praying. We have been weeping and crying. And I'm telling you, God's working. I don't want to sound like I'm hopeless. I know God is working. And yet we needed some more weapons against the devil. And I was down praying one day, and the Lord brought that one to my mind again. I turned over there in Revelation, and I read it just so I could have the exact words. And the word of the Lord says, "And Satan knoweth he hath but a short time." Oh, don't you use it against him. When you're in prayer, when you're fighting the battles, just say, "Devil, remember, you don't have very long." And then I said what the scripture says. What's waiting for you at the end of all of this is a lake of fire with brimstone, and you're going to be cast into it, and you're going to suffer day and night forever and forever. And I want to tell you emphatically that the devil, I could see him slinking away. Now, I want to tell you what he did, though. He didn't stay gone. He's not going to stay long. He encircled us for a while. He was just trying to think of another way to attack. But we've used that weapon against him different times. I believe it's effective. Time is running out. And it's running out for the devil as well as you and me. He's facing his end. And we can remind him of it. I believe it's effective.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Scripture calls him a serpent. He's called the wicked one. You know, we can get used to some of these words. We can say, I would encourage us to be passionate about some of these words that describe him. Don't say, well, he's just the wicked one. I'm going to be passionate. Mm-hmm. He is wicked.
Yes,
he is cruel.
Yes.
He hates you and me.
Yes.
He despises you because you have the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
He hates Christ even today. He hates God. He hates the Word.
Right.
He hates everything about God. And he wants to destroy everything. What is his purpose?
Kill, steal, and destroy.
We are not ignorant of his devices. He wants to kill. He wants to steal. He wants to destroy. He does not love you.
No.
He is no gentleman. He does not treat you kindly, not at any point or time in your life. He doesn't do good to you at all. He has no good in his heart at all. He is the God of this world.
Yes.
Love not this world. If you have the love of this world, you do not have the love of the Father. And there is your protection.
Yes.
Don't allow your affections to go out to that something, to that thing in which Satan has constructed.
Yes.
In which he is promoted.
Help us, Lord.
Scripture says he's a liar. He is a father of liars. He is a destroyer. He is a thief. He is a deceiver. It's so easy to be deceived.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, I'm going to encourage you to do this if you're not doing it already. When you pray, you ask the Lord every day, Lord, don't let me be deceived.
Yeah.
Don't let me believe a lie about myself.
Yes, Lord.
The enemy would like for you to believe you're good when you're bad. The enemy would like for us to forget what manner of person that we are. When the Lord has revealed something to us, he wants to snatch that away. And then he wants you to believe you're okay. That's deception. I have prayed this way for years. I have seen the great danger of being deceived and blind and believing a lie about myself. So I encourage you, when you pray, pray against the devil. Pray against deception. Because the enemy would like to. Do you know what the scripture says? It says he will blind your mind. Oftentimes when we may quote that scripture, we may say, oh, he wants to blind my eyes. No, he does want to blind your eyes, but he wants to blind your mind. He wants you to be a reprobate. You know what a reprobate is? It's a person that has an unsearching mind. You wouldn't be able to search out the truth. You wouldn't be able to understand the truth because you'd have a reprobate mind, a mind that is blind to the truth.
Yes.
Resist these things. Right. Ask for a clear mind.
Yes.
Ask for a reasonable mind. Right. These are all part of our weapons.
Yes.
Prayer is the key.
Yes, that's so.
But I want to tell you, it's how we pray. Did you know that the scripture says, God said it. I can't give you the scripture. I just have it memorized. He says, for you and me to command the works of his hands. He's inviting us, come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of every need. And command me, how do you want me to work with you? What kind of power do you want? Command the works of God's hands to work a work in you. He will keep you. He will keep us.
Thank
the Lord. He has the power. Oh, I don't want to diminish the power of God for you and me because the scripture plainly says he has all power in heaven and in earth. We cannot, we will not be disappointed in God's power, but it has to be in us.
Yes, right.
It has to be working in us.
Yes.
Fight for it. Seek for it. Ask for it.
Yes.
Don't give up asking for the power of God to be working in you, cleansing you,
yes,
and strengthening and establishing you and settling you. The scripture that we often use, and I've used it for many years, and of late I've been asking the Lord to give me a little better vision of what it means, but it says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, I want to tell you, there's something to that is powerful. When you're fighting against the enemy of your soul, you've got to recognize that power is coming from the source of God.
Yes,
it is not coming from me.
Right.
I cannot be a match for the enemy. But through Christ, I can be a match for the enemy. The scripture says that he will appear as what? An angel of light. You can't match that, or you'll be deceived.
That's so.
You can't even recognize it without a spirit of discernment from God. Oh, lean hard. The song says, lean hard on Him.
Yes.
Oh, tested soul.
That's right. Yes.
We're tested. God is going to have a tried and a tested people. You're not going to make it to heaven without it. You may say, why do we have this kind of warfare? This is God's design. He is separating the sheep from the goats.
Yes.
He's separating these things in this life. If you're not worthy of heaven, you'll fall. You'll come under the Spirit.
Lord, help us.
But by God, you can surmount every onslaught of the enemy. Thank the Lord. When the scripture even says that the devil can perform miracles and signs and wonders, and I'm going to say appear fantastical. I mean, today I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it. These religious programs on there, and there appears to be miracles.
That's so.
The scripture tells you and me to try the spirits.
Yeah.
Put them to the test.
Right.
Personally, I'm not going to be watching it to put it to the test. But I'm going to test the true spirit.
Yeah.
Don't you know that in counterfeit money, they do not train bankers with counterfeit money. They train them with the real stuff. And that's what you and I need to do.
Amen.
Try the real spirit.
Yes,
put it to the test.
Amen.
You may not see the end result of these false things, but you don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to see the end of it. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
When it comes to other religions, did you know we don't need to know about them? The scripture tells us. The scripture told the children of Israel they were not to even inquire of their gods. Don't ask. Why? Why would we not? Oh, don't we need some information about them? No, you don't. You stay with the real. You stay with the true. You will not be deceived. You will not be blind. You will not be confused. And what does the scripture say? Confusion is of what?
The
devil. Confusion. How many of us have ever gotten confused? And maybe we would go to our pastor or someone and begin to say, and we might even start out by saying, oh, I'm so confused. And immediately we know where it comes from. We don't have to get down and pray, well, Lord, where does this confusion come from? The Word tells us.
That's right.
And we know where it comes from. identify. Identify the spirits and pray against them. I don't know if I have quoted this during this week or not. I can't remember all that I've said in service. But I pray against. I use those words. I identify the spirits we are up against, and then I begin to pray against them using their names. I'll give you an example. Because we have been in this battle with our family member with a divorce, I count divorce a spirit.
Yeah.
And so I go before the Lord and I say, I pray against the spirit of divorce.
Yeah.
When you and I pray against something as a weapon, it will be cast down. It will be cast out. If you will think about the little parable over there where Jesus gave of the house or the room that was swept and garnished and it was empty.
Yes.
It was clean.
Yeah.
But it wasn't filled. Mm-hmm. And that spirit that was cast out came back to see if it was filled.
Right. That's right.
And when he found it was empty, what did he do? He went and he got seven more spirits that were worse than himself and came and took their abode in this empty room. The same principle is when you and I identify a spirit to pray against it, that it be cast down or cast out, whatever the case, we must then pray for something from God to fill that place.
Yes, amen.
Or that spirit will come back.
Yes.
And when it sees it has not been filled, this is our weapon of warfare that is mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. Thank the Lord. So I pray against this spirit. Whatever spirit it is in your life, you can name it. Whatever spirit that you're praying against for your family, pray for God to fill that place. I pray against the spirit of hatred and malice. I pray for the love of God to fill that place. Oh, I want to tell you, God, He will do it.
We're
commanding the works of His hands. And He will do it in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
There was another scripture that I had here, and I'm going to have to just skip through here. I had too many notes. I may have to just try to quote it. I'm not even seeing it. But, oh, I can quote it. I know it. Oh, I love this. It's when the 70 disciples went out.
All right.
And when they came back to Jesus, what did they say? They said, the devils were subject unto us. Oh, let us live that the devils will be subject unto you. But there's a secret. I think I passed it right here. It said, the devils were subject unto us through thy name.
Yes, amen.
So when you do pray against something, do not fail to add that. I pray against the devil in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
amen. I pray for.
Yes.
It's all hinged on His name.
That's right.
Doesn't the scripture say something about that the devils fear and tremble in the name of Jesus or something like that? I have heard it said, and maybe you too, that says that the weakest saints on their knees
Yes.
Makes the devils tremble.
Yes, amen.
Oh, we don't have to be afraid. In the name of Jesus, it is our weapon. It's a weapon that is mighty through God. Praise God.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Oh, saints, I'm just overloading you. I'm going to do one more. I have much more. Did you know that Satan is an inventor?
Yes.
Anybody doubt that Satan doesn't invent?
Oh, Lord. The world's full of it.
The world is full of it.
That's so.
But I am going to tell you what the Lord revealed to me. If you will listen to the still small voice, and it's sometimes almost a whisper, the still small voice will open your spiritual eyes and he will protect you from the inventions of the enemy. And there is a scripture that simply says that there are inventions. That word is in the Bible. That the things that the enemy invents, he doesn't invent it in its fullest capacity or stage. I don't know how to say it exactly, but I'm going to tell you how the Lord revealed it to me many years ago. First of all, my husband was working nights, and he went to work on Sunday nights. I think I was in the ministry at this time. He might remember. But we had a radio station that played old-time radio stories on Sunday nights. And oh, I would just be so excited to leave church and get home, and I'd get dressed for bed and lay in the bed and turn on all the lights, and I would turn on old time radio and listen to it till midnight. Well, I grew up hearing these things. I didn't really think anything bad. But one night, it was like the Lord just took a curtain and just pulled it back. And I saw the devil. Oh, I didn't see the devil himself. I saw his invention. I saw his tactic. I saw that he was hid in those old-time radio shows. That he had a hidden message.
Yes.
Don't you know that those things that the devil invents produces hidden messages?
Yes.
Oh, let's fortify ourselves against the devil.
Lord.
Don't give ourselves to these kind of things. Let me tell you how it was. The story was, sounded very innocent. It was a family. And the man, the father, he worked all week long. Sunday morning was the only morning he could sleep late. Is that an underlying message?
Yes, it is.
Sunday morning, the only morning you can sleep late? Where's church?
Sunday morning.
So here's the son. And the son is wanting to go play tennis on Sunday morning. Is there an underlying message there?
Yes.
And the son wanted to drive the car that had to go past the bedroom window, but he couldn't wake up his father because he was sleeping late on Sunday morning. These were underlying messages of the 1930s and 40s. Not 2019. Way back. It influenced our whole nation. It sent out a message, and this is what the Lord showed me.
Yeah.
It was just like a curtain. And so this young man, instead of starting the car and waking his father, who was sleeping late on Sunday morning, he put it in neutral and pushed it. You know, that's just a simple little story, but there was the invention of the enemy went out into our nation. And I could never listen to that again. Because the Lord also began to enlarge this message. It didn't stop with old-time radio. When I was working in the school, we took our children to an Oklahoma historical museum. There was one room that was set aside for communications. The beginning of it, up to the modern day of it. It also was presenting the types of movies or programs that would be shown in the 1940s. And then they showed a representation of what was modern. There is not a way in the world that the enemy could have invented the final stage of this invention and the people accepted it. The people had to be desensitized gradually.
Yeah.
That's the invention of the enemy.
Yeah.
The television started out with a little box no bigger than this.
Yeah.
It started out with innocent child play. So simple. But there was always an underlying message. It graduated. It continually moved. Did you know that today, and I don't know what all is on there today, I can only tell you a little of what I've heard, but it is in the full-blown stage of some wickedness that is engrossing our nation and our generations. We have two, possibly three generations in this world right now that is being taught things that is very sinful, and they cannot see it. They cannot see it. And it's because the devil has gradually brought it in with underlying messages and inventions. It's his tactic. We're exposing the devil today. Don't give yourself over to the entertainments of this world. The devil is hiding in a lot of different places. You'll have to pray about some things. You'll have to ask the Lord to reveal it to you. You'll have that vision that we were talking about the other day. You've got to have a personal. See, this is the prophetic. This is the preaching vision. Now, what are you going to do with it? Oh, I don't see it? Or, Lord, help me to see it. I want to tell you, if you seek the Lord, He will open your spiritual eyes just like He did me. I praise God that He didn't leave me alone in that place. And I began to eat of other things. You see, you cannot eat of the cup. You cannot drink of the cup of the devil and the cup of the Lord at the same time. Get a vision of that. Let us drink the cup of the Lord. It's pure. And the cup of the Lord is life, is power. Oh, God wants you and me to make heaven. And He's made a plan. And if we follow it, we will make it. Thank the Lord. I'm going to skip over to my last. Time's getting away. And I have scriptures, but I tell you what, I think you can be challenged to go home and look up scriptures. How great. And it's been in this meeting, in more than one message, how great our God is.
Yes.
God is greater than Satan.
Yes, he is.
I read a statement that said that God is sovereign over Satan. And sovereign is not a real familiar word, but it means supreme. Mm-hmm. Ultimate.
Yeah.
There's no one higher than God.
Okay.
In other words. And Satan cannot overthrow God or his kingdom. Praise God. Okay, I am going to give you one little weapon here. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God.
Yes.
That's another scripture that I've been seeking the Lord. Lord, help me to understand this better. And I've spoken to some of you, and I've even said it, my testimony. The Lord spoke to me one day. This is not very long ago. The Lord said, there is no grace for imaginations. And when I really analyzed it, I know there is grace for everything that is real. But if I'm just imagining something and it's not even the truth. Now listen, I have had a battle with imaginations. Do you have fearful imaginations?
Lord, no.
I've had fearful imaginations. There's many different kinds of imaginations, but down through our married life, I've been fearful if he didn't get home right on time. I began to imagine. I was tormented. Listen, fear has torment. The enemy wants you and me to be tormented with imaginations of fear. So I would, I'd be down on the sofa and I'd be praying and I'd be thinking about how he's going to do his funeral and I'd be crying, and then I'd hear him come in. I'd sure try to get my face all wiped up, and I didn't want him to know I was doing that. The Lord had to deliver me from the bondage of Satan. That is one of his tactics to hinder your faith, to hinder your trust. And the Lord has helped me. I'm going to testify to you, the enemy, well, I'm just going to say, just being here, you know, Warren loves to go for a walk, and he's been walking in Sister Sherry's neighborhood, and he doesn't take his billfold. And this morning, I said, well, at least take your driver's license. Well, why? Well, in case something happens. They can identify. Now that was the devil trying to get me to imagine something. I have no grace for that. God doesn't have grace for your imaginations. I'm just presenting this to you to see some of the tactics of the enemy. How he will hinder you as a saint. But we resist it. I was able to resist it and I still had peace.
Thank the Lord.
So cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and that's the secret.
Yes.
The knowledge of God. What do you know about God? It's like the message this morning. We have to meditate about those things that the Lord has done for us in the past, and it will influence our peace for the present.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Yes.
It works.
Yes.
So we cast it down because it's something that's trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So that's one of your weapons. I want you to take that home. And number two weapon, and it's been mentioned here throughout the week. I think she even said it this morning. And I'm going to call this a stratagem of the enemy. And the Lord gave me a message at home on the stratagems of the enemy. And this was one of them. I think this is one of the most dangerous. Hurts. Wounds. Offenses. because it produced what we heard last night. Hatred, malice, anger. But it does something else. Unforgiveness. If you and I allow the very plan of Satan, because we're all going to be offended. The word of the Lord says it is impossible but that you will be offended. That I will be offended. And it will be more than one time in your life. You might as well just brace up and face it. I do. I've been wounded and hurt many times. But I'll tell you what. God can help you and me to forgive. I'm going to tell you the hardest ones to forgive are the ones of the church. And the Lord prepared us for that. He prepared us through David. David said, it wasn't my enemy way out there. It was the one that I walked to the house of the Lord with, the one I had confidence in. We worshiped together. And that one hurt me. And that happened. But oh, forgive. So that you can be forgiven. It's a trick of the devil to have odds among the brethren. And the scripture says, love as brethren. Okay. Let me go down here to the last part now. Oh, this is a statement. And the Lord spoke something to me very similar just of late. But this statement, I read this somewhere. It says, speaking of our battleground or our warfare, there are no neutral zones. You're going to be on one side of the fence or the other. There's no neutral place in our wars from our country. They might have certain zones. I think they call them demilitarized zones or something like that. No fighting right here. That doesn't happen spiritually. Don't expect it. Make sure you're on God's side. A lot of people say, well, God's on my side. No, you got to be on His side. If you're not on the side of God, then whose other side is there to be on?
Yeah.
You only have one choice. And He says there's only one master. You're going to love one or hate the other, despise, hold, choose God. Be on God's side. This is what the Lord spoke to me, and I'm going to leave it with you. The Lord spoke this so plainly to me just a few weeks ago. And this is what He said. You cannot live casually any longer. You cannot live casually. We're in this for the final run. Maybe the final battle. I don't know. But we've got to be prepared. Don't be ignorant. Get a hold of the word of the Lord. Get a hold of God. Go at it 100%. Don't do 99. Do 100%. Put your whole heart into this thing. Next week when you meet the devil, be 100%. He won't get the first dose. The Lord will give you the power if you've got your whole heart into this thing.
Yes, amen.
Thank the Lord. And then I'm just going to repeat what the Lord said to me, just as a final little statement about praying. You've got to pray more against the devil.
Yes.
I believe that the Lord gave that to me for us all. Pray for me.
Thank you, Lord.